You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, welcome back to the second hour, everybody. It is our live broadcast for Saturday evening, June the 26th. I want to thank again Mark Weber for anchoring the program this evening as our featured guest. He did a fantastic job. Excellent commentator, as he always does a fantastic job, but tonight was no exception. And I think the point I was trying to make with Mark right before the end of the first hour was that after 22 years as a public activist and advocate, 17 of those years, the last 17 of those years, here on commercial AM talk radio, having taken every spear imaginable, I have seen my share of losses, and I have seen the direction of America continue to plummet. Even with all of that, though, I still stand by what I said in the closing seconds with Mark. What has been done can be undone. It will take strong men to do it, but we have the men out there that are ready and able to lead. I count myself among them. I know Mark Weber is among them. And so, too, are those incredible guests that we feature each and every week here on this broadcast. Before we get to another one of those heroes, Keith Alexander, my co-host for so many years, he'll be coming up at the top of the next segment. I am out of town tonight, as I mentioned, and Sam Bushman will be anchoring the third and final hour of the show tonight. And Sam is going to be talking about false flags, 15 ways to identify and detect them. Sam Bushman always makes for an incredible guest as well, but also an incredible guest host. And he, on the occasions when I am out or for whatever reason unavailable, Sam so often takes over the show, as she'll be doing in the third hour tonight while I spend the end of this annual summer vacation with my family. He'll give me the opportunity to go out and enjoy a nice meal with my wife and three children who are with me. I really shouldn't have been on the air tonight, and the original plan actually was to let Sam run the whole show. But Sam is versatile, and he is amenable, and he is a friend ready to help however much is needed. I just couldn't bear to go a week without you. Perhaps that's a little bit obsessive, but I value our time together, ladies and gentlemen. You two are part of my family, and it is on special occasions that we remember our family, I think, the most. And for me, I did turn 41 years old last week. I put this up on the website. I probably say something like this every year, but I do mean it. It does come from the heart, and messages from the heart sometimes are repeated. Indeed, I started working when I was 19 years old for this cause of ours, working for Pat Buchanan, in fact. When I was 21 years old, I ran for a seat in the Tennessee State Legislature, and as you know, in 2004, 24 years old I was when I founded the Political Cesspool. And so, whenever these holidays or anniversaries or birthdays comes up, it gives us time to pause and reflect on what we've accomplished in life while remembering those who are important to us. Of course, birthdays also remember how fast the hands of time spin. I'm not trying to allege that I'm some old in the tooth, near the grave type of guy, but I'm a lot older than I was when I started. And with that comes perspective and, I think, an appreciation that grows more fond and more pronounced each and every year. I am so grateful for the people I get to work with on this program. Keith, obviously, Jack Ryan, the entire crew, Sam Bushman. I don't want to forget anybody. I hate listening because I'm going to forget someone so obvious, but obviously our guests and our audience as well. And it seems like it was just yesterday that we hosted the first broadcast of TPC. That was 17 years ago. And it, in the blink of an eye, I know it's cliche, but truly, that's what it seems like. A lot of memories in those 17 years, though. Thanks to you, ladies and gentlemen, in our listening audience. And from the bottom of my heart, I love you. I thank you for taking part in this journey with me. And I want you to know that on my birthday and every day, I'm thankful for you. It is my honor entirely, to be able to share these special occasions with the finest people I've ever known. And I've gotten to know so many of you in our listening audience at our events, at our conferences, through correspondence and phone calls, and however we've done it. I don't take the gift of your friendship and your support for granted. You have helped make my life wonderful. It continues to be wonderful. It is a wonderful privilege and blessing to be able to stand and fight for a cause greater than yourself. You do it with me, and without you, I wouldn't be able to do it. So thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to say again, I've made mention, of course, a couple of times now that I am out of town on our annual summer vacation with my family, still calling into the show tonight from the road. And we've been all over the South this week. We have been to North Florida. We have been to through Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama. And I have it's just such an incredible thing to still to this day in the current year go through the rural South. And I was just driving past a rural small town Georgia today, and saw this beautifully appointed Confederate monument in this town I've never even heard of before. We took the back roads and stayed off the interstates. Just a beautiful Confederate monument, and it reminded me all over again why we do the things we do. There are beautiful people out there. There are wonderful people, God-fearing people, people who deserve a voice but who otherwise don't have it unless we give it to them. And you help us, ladies and gentlemen, give these people that voice. And I want to give one specific shout-out, though, and that is to Courtney in Alabama. Our first stop on this week-long trip that is now winding down was with Courtney. She opened up her home to us and my family, mixed with her family, and we just had a wonderful time. She put a lot of thought into our visit and to the dinner that we had, and the next day we toured around, well, all over the Gulf Coast, really, Bayou La Batrie. We saw the little quaint shrimping village there. We went to the place, Damn the Torpedoes, Full Speed Ahead. We went to that fort, and we went through really almost all the way from the Mississippi Gulf Coast through Alabama on into the panhandle of Florida with Courtney and her kids. And, you know, she's another friend we've made, that I've made and have had and shared for really, I think, since I told Courtney, I don't ever remember ever meeting you. I just remember always knowing you. And it's just that sort of relationship and friendship. And so she and my wife, of course, get along famously. And it was just a great time. It's always great to be able to go out of town and visit friends from the program, or in the case of Courtney, you know, she's almost part of the family, like our mascot, and is regularly featured on this program, I think, you know, almost quarterly anyway. So thanks to Courtney. Thanks to everyone. And remember, folks, remember this before we go to Keith Alexander. We are coming up on the last week of our quarterly fundraising drive. So, you know, we love to shout out the cities from which we receive our support. We did that, I think, last week, right? Was it last week? We'll do that again next week. We'll give all the cities that have shown their support since our last accounting. And that'll come up next week. But don't forget, we got to have you. Got to have you. Your contributions allow us to remain on the front lines. We're checks only. We can't take credit card contributions anymore. So go to our website. $100 or more, you'll get Mark Collett's book, The Fall of Western Man. We need your support. Postmark it today. Send it out. We'll send you the gift. And we'll be on the radio continuing to fight for you. We'll be right back with Keith. Stay tuned.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome back. And now I'm joined by my right-hand man, Keith Alexander the Great. He is with us. He's back at home in Memphis. I'm on my way back to Memphis as quick as I can get there. Pulled in tonight to broadcast the show. And we're back with Keith, at least for a few minutes. We'll be back in the studio together at full strength next week. How are you tonight, brother?
I'm doing great. You have a good vacation?
Oh, man. Listen, you're going to think somebody turned me black. I've gotten so much sun on this. You're going to think, what happened to James? I thought he was white. No. But I definitely worked on my tan this week down on the Gulf Coast. But anyway, we had Mark Weber on in the first hour, always a favorite, of course. And at the tail end of that, we talked a little bit about the Putin-Biden summit. And Mark had made mention of the fact that the foreign minister of Russia had talked about this assault on white Americans. Now, you know, that's not something to rub your nose at. I mean, that's a pretty powerful statement from a pretty powerful counterpart in Russia. And we were talking about the Putin-Biden meeting, and I said I would save this for this hour when I was with you, Keith, some of the takeaways that I had with a Putin interview with NBC that preceded his meeting with the alleged president. First of all, the first question NBC asked him in this interview was whether or not Russia was supplying Iran with space weapons that could target Israel. And, of course, Putin laughed that off and talked about the ridiculousness of it because it's completely untrue. But then they doubled down. This ridiculous media that we have, or so-called media, doubled down and said, well, if you were doing that, would you be against it? This is literally the question. Would you be, if such a thing were going on, would you be opposed to it? And he said, well, how can I answer that? It's fake news. He actually used the term two or three different times. Vladimir Putin used the term fake news. Now, I thought that was telling. This meeting between Putin and Biden came right after the G7 summit. All of these completely sociopathic globalist elitists who couldn't care less about their own people and their own nations, as opposed to Vladimir Putin, who is, by all accounts, a man of faith, at least a supporter of Orthodox Christianity in Russia. And let me tell you, the Orthodox Church in Russia takes its faith seriously, much unlike Christian denominations here in the United States. But this was coming on the tail end of that. He praised Trump, calling him colorful and smart, while calling Biden a career man, meaning a career politician. There was some talk about and he was even asked about that, whether or not Biden told him, rather, that he can't see Putin's soul, that he has no soul, that he told Vladimir Putin he had no soul to his face. He said he has no recollection of that happening, which Mark Weber and I talked about that in the last hour, that I have a hard time believing. I believe there's a little bit of element of Biden trying to appear to be a tough guy by alleging that he said that. I don't think he would actually tell a strong man that he said that. And then he was asked to, Keith, and I'll wrap this up and turn it over to you. Some of my takeaways from this hour and a half raw interview with NBC, if what he thought about Black Lives Matter. And he said that issue was used by a domestic political force in America. He's obviously talking about the Democratic Party for campaign purposes. He called the movement extremism and that he cannot welcome this or would not welcome this in Russia. And they were further questions whether or not he was involved in cyber attacks against America in 2020. And he said, if you have any evidence of that, put it on the table. What are you going to accuse me of next? Sabotaging Easter eggs. And this is the way the interview went on for an hour and a half. He cast a large presence. He cast a serious presence, very much unlike what we see here, the clownish buffoonery that we have in American media and American government. Keith Alexander.
Well, saying that we're giving Iraq space weapons, I tell you, I think that the American media in particular and the American left in general has been watching too many reruns of Star Trek. It's just ridiculous what they're charging Russia with. Now, the real enemy is China, not Russia. China is the group that has the power and the will to back it up with nuclear weapons if necessary. That's where we should be focusing our attention. Russia is basically like America was in the 19th century. They haven't yet conquered their frontier, which is Siberia. They need to do it. We need to help them. Russia, need I say this? It seems pretty obvious. They're a white nation. They have a cultural affinity to our culture. We have a cultural affinity to their culture. We do not need to go out of our way to make them enemies, but we always make them the primary enemy, and China becomes a distant second, or maybe a third. Iraq gets in there too, but there's a reason for that. Jewish power and influence in America cannot stand the post-Soviet Union Russia. They loved Soviet Russia because it was run by Jewish Bolsheviks, particularly in the punitive police and espionage agencies like the Cheka and the KGB, things like that. Jews were 2% to 4% of the Russian population at the time of the Russian Revolution, but they made up approximately 50% of the personnel in those punitive police-like agencies. The ones that were responsible for the Holodomor and the gulags, the people that were responsible for killing 36 million Ruthenians, white Russians and Ukrainians, between World War I and World War II. These are, that we are not allowed in polite society here in America, and definitely not in mainstream media, to mention the Jewish connection with the Soviet Union. But if you'll remember, Hollywood loved the Soviet Union. They made movies like the 1966 classic, The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming. And anyone that perceived any threat from Soviet Russia was considered to be some backward hick and a rube based on the underlying story of that movie. Now they have taken that on full circle. And it comes down
to this, Keith,
quite frankly. any
how about this? I mean, is that the dynamic? Is that the missing
Jewish
link?
Power and influence control will be an evil nation. Tsarist Russia was a righteous nation. The Soviet Union was an evil empire because it was under the domination of Jewish influence for the 70 years that it existed. Since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991, Russia is gradually getting out of that, out from under that Jewish influence, and they are becoming a more righteous nation. Now, Putin isn't perfect. Putin is a strong leader, and he can be ruthless when it comes to consolidation of his power in Russia. But I sincerely think he sees himself as like the father of the Russian people, and he has their best interests in mind. And I believe his Orthodox Christian faith is real, not a stage prop, like Joe Biden's Catholicism, for example. And we need to understand that the media is only going to howl bloody murder about Putin's Russia, because it's not the Soviet Union anymore. For example, Trump could not allow himself to go see the Russians, because if they did, I have no telling what the mainstream reaction would have been. They went berserk whenever he said anything other than complete vilification of Putin or Putin's Russia.
All right, hold on right there. I know, Keith, you're on the phone. You're having a little bit difficulty hearing me. We are coming up on a break. We're going to take that break, and we're going to come back. I want to follow up this excellent thread of conversation with a follow-up question about Putin and Russia, and what's the difference between when they were our allies versus now.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The mayor of Surfside, Florida, says he's trying to get an inspection of the condo building next door to the collapsed Champlain Tower South done. Mayor Charles Burkett said Saturday that he's working to arrange an emergency inspection of the tower identical to the building that partially collapsed on Thursday morning. Burkett said he wasn't ready to order an evacuation of the building, but announced that FEMA has agreed to pay for temporary lodging for residents who wish to leave. Five people are confirmed dead and more than 150 people remain unaccounted for after Thursday's collapse. And Great Britain's health minister has resigned after being caught breaking COVID protocols. Matt Hancock, who has led his country's response to coronavirus, resigned Saturday after admitting and apologizing for breaking social distancing rules. He was caught on camera kissing a senior aide at the Department of Health before COVID rules were eased to allow physical contact with those outside one's household. Hancock was also allegedly having an affair with that aide. You're listening to USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The Department of Justice announced a lawsuit Friday against the state of Georgia over its recently passed election reform law. The department alleges the measure unfairly restricts black Georgians' right to vote, but Georgia's Secretary of State disagrees. Brad Raffensperger tells Fox News that the law included things like voter ID that President Biden has supported in the past.
But in 2002, President Biden, when he was a senator, voted for the Help America Vote Act, which required if you showed up and if you registered by mail, and then you showed up to vote, you had to show photo ID. And that's in effect what we've done with absentee voting. We've gone to a measure that's very objective with driver's license number. It's what's being currently used in Minnesota. Democrats love it up there. It should be something that is just accepted, that is very objective. It's being used in red states and blue states. So it's good, solid election reform measures that we put in place in Georgia.
This is USA Radio News.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, folks, we've never really taken breaks here very seriously, as you know. I mean, we'll talk all over our outros. Sometimes we'll run right into the wall while we're still talking. I think I've been doing that all night now. In our defense, it is a little bit more difficult to hear everything when we're on the road, and Keith is joining us on a phone. But Keith was literally a man of steel that last segment. Not only could he not hear me, he couldn't hear the break. He couldn't hear our producer. He couldn't hear anything, and he kept trucking for 2 full minutes into the commercial before he came up for air. You know, but when we're on a topic as important as that, and when we're on a roll like that, we're sort of like a great white shark. Our eyes roll into the back of our heads, and we just throw caution to the wind, and that's what was going on there. That's the radio version of that. But, Keith, listen, I heard when it stopped, and that was a fantastic analysis of what's going on. The question that I had for you that I was trying to interject there, and I think we may have resolved some of this back and forth, and you can hear us better now, but it was the entire question of our relations with Russia in the early 1940s versus our relations with Russia now. In the early 1940s, when we were all fighting, or rather not we, but the United States and the Allies were fighting to make the world safe for communism, Bolshevik Jewish-led Russia was our greatest allies, you know, never mind the fact of the Holodomor and the killing of tens of millions of Russian Christians and what happened to the Tsar and all of that. These were great people. These were our allies, you know. And, yeah, there was a little bit of a Cold War and all of that, and there was some rhetoric going back and forth, but nothing really happened. But now that Russia has sort of returned to its orthodox roots and you've got a nationalistic leader, at least relatively speaking, with Vladimir Putin, there's some sort of an enemy? They're deserving of all of this? It doesn't begin to add up unless you know where the scores are settled, right, Keith?
Exactly. You know, let's just face it. Russia is a white nation. China isn't. Neither is Iran. So guess who moves to the head of the class to be the greatest threat to America and the group to be hated without reservation? Russia. And, of course, Putin can only laugh at this. You know, we're supposedly providing Iraq with Star Wars technology and Star Trek weapons to use on the United States. It's like Dr. Evil in the Austin Powers movie or something. And, you know, he can't help but laugh at this spectacle. The problem is the American people get a steady diet of this when the network news and in the major American newspapers every day of every week of every month of every year. And we can't, you know, I don't think most people's nervous systems can cope with it. That's the problem. That see, well, I was saying on a radio interview with the Barnes Review History Hour last week that perhaps Russia may turn out to be our saving grace in more ways than one. We can't seem to find a niche in the mainstream electronic or print media in America. But we might be able to do it through Russia Today or Russia Insider or some of these other outlets that are allowed in America for Russia. And that would really be, I mean, you talk about throwing a stink bomb in the middle of the liberal parlor, that would do it. And there are people as important as Professor Matthew Rayfield Johnson who suggested that the Russians may wind up being the cultural leaders of the white world sooner rather than later. He said that.
Well, you know, I got to say,
years
Keith,
ago, right? Possibly, very possibly.
David Duke wrote something about that in the early 2000s. He asked the question, "Is Russia the key to white survival?" And you know, no matter how you slice it, why would you want one of the world's, what, two or three superpowers to be your enemy? Why would you go out of your way to antagonize what is a healthy people? I mean, they're far more healthy than we are in matters of faith, in matters of tradition, in matters of whatever standard of measurement you want. Why wouldn't you want to have good relations with such a nation? But apparently, America goes out of its way to alienate Putin's Russia.
Well, you know, they say about Jews that they are like the Bourbon dynasty in France. They never learned anything from history and never forgot. They never will forget that white European nations drove them out of their nations in the Middle Ages. And it doesn't matter that America has been the most welcome destination for Jews in the world over the past 1.5 centuries. It doesn't matter to them. You know, they still want to nurse that historic grievance. And Russia, they still can't get over Tsarist Russia and their supposed mistreatment in Tsarist Russia. But if you'll notice, the Chinese, Xi Jinping and people like that, the leader of Communist China now, make much more provocative statements against the United States than Putin. But Putin is cast as the villain. It's crazy. And Americans need to start recognizing this for what it is. This is an unfair slander and defamation of Russia. Russia wants to be our friend. Russia would like to be our ally. Russia would like to have normalized trade relations with America. Biden is a puppet. He will say whatever his members tell him to say. He's just so happy he pinches himself every morning and says, I can't believe I'm the president of the United States. But guess what?
Well, do you think, I mean, but this is the question, Keith. This is a serious question. Do you think that Biden even knows he's the president?
Yeah, I think he does. That may be one of the few things he does know. And I think that is the one thing that if you've got him by the short hairs because of that. Because he is now the president, he is willing to do anything that it takes to stay the president. And he knows now he's being protected. You know, think of all the gaffes he makes, both in his commentary and physically, falling down the steps, getting into Air Force One, and not once, not twice, but three times. You know, the guy is a buffoon. I mean, he should have been in the Keystone Cops or an extra in Laurel and Hardy movies back in the day. And all of this is forgiven and covered up by the mainstream media because he's playing ball with them and doing what his handlers like John Podesta and others are telling
well,
him
you know,
to do.
And that was another thing that came up in this hour and a half raw interview with NBC and Vladimir Putin. It was asked about the allegations of election irregularities in the most recent presidential election between Trump and Biden. And Putin answered matter-of-factly, I think that all worked out the way that it was intended to. And so you can, I think, translate that as you will.
Excuse me, I didn't hear the last thing you said.
Well, they were asking Putin, NBC was, about what happened with the allegations of election irregularities with regards to the vote count between Trump and Biden last November, and he said he thought that worked out the way that it was intended to.
Well, that was about the kindest thing he could say, because actually, you know, you talk about 800 pounds in the living room. He should have asked the Democrats, what about your interference in the election back in November? Your interference dwarfed anyone else's attempted interference. And first of all, we didn't attempt to do this. We're just a convenient scapegoat. We're the whipping boy. Russia has become the left's whipping boy. Anything that goes wrong that they've done, for example, like cheating the American people in the 2020 election, presidential election, they turn around and point the finger at Russia. Russia did it. Russia is the perennial scapegoat, the whipping boy, as George Wallace said of the South back in the Civil Rights Movement. And, you know, it's ridiculous. I'm glad that Putin is not as vindictive as he's made out to be. Now, Putin does insist on keeping control of the domestic political situation in Russia. And if you are one of his political enemies in Russia, like Navalny, you know, he's coming for you. But on the other hand, in foreign policy, he's as meek as a kitten. And he's, for example, he was emphasizing to Joe Biden how crazy it would be for either side to start a nuclear war, basically because he's afraid that Nutsoy Joe is liable to, you know, press the red button or something. And, you know, he could do that. He could do that thinking that he's calling for room service. You know, we have... See, this is a nutty situation we're in. And America, you know, all pretense of being the land of the free and the home of the brave, that's in the past. And in World War II, what happened was because Soviet Jews were actually in charge of Russia and ostensibly the white nation ruled all for them. But then,
hold on right
on
there,
the other
buddy.
Hand, in,
hold on, we gotta hold on.
We're gonna
try to take this break on time.
Has become Czarist Russia.
I don't want to.
Here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
But we're going. We'll be right back with you. Stay tuned, everybody.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com. Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we have one more segment with Keith Alexander. We'll be back with you next week. I'm going to talk about that in just 1 second. Coming up, though, in the third and final hour tonight, Sam Bushman's going to take over. He's going to take over the third and final hour. We may even make a break right on the outro with Sam running the show in the third hour. He's got an interesting topic. It's always incredible radio when Sam Bushman hosts. Don't forget to check him out every Monday through Saturday at LibertyRoundtable.com. Sam is the owner of the Liberty News Radio Network. He's one of the dearest friends that I have in this life, and he is a brother, and his family is my family, and vice versa. And he'll be anchoring the show in the third hour. I look forward to being a fan during that third hour, and I'll be listening as along with the rest of you, so stay tuned for that. But coming up in July, let me just give you a sneak peek of some of the things that's coming up over the course of the next couple of weeks. We promised you special events, special programming, and first-time gifts, and we're going to have all of those things coming your way over the course of the next 3 weeks. So next week, we'll be back, Keith Alexander and I, in studio, and we're going to have our annual 4th of July extravaganza. We're going to be talking about freedom. Now, freedom, that's an interesting question. On one hand, you could say that dissident rightists like us don't have enough freedom. We can't speak out without the fear of being marginalized or losing a job or whatever sort of punishments come from this soft, hardening, everyday, totalitarian, leftist, wokest government that we have now, and the media too. Do we have freedom in this country anymore if you're a dissident? On the other hand, do we have too much freedom? We have all kinds of freedoms now that we didn't have before. You can be a man pretending to be a girl and go into a girl's bathroom now, or be on the girls' college basketball team. You can be dunking all over the real girls. That's freedoms we didn't have a few years ago. What is freedom? Do we have too little or too much of it? That's going to be a question we have next week during our 4th of July show. It's always an interesting show. It's a provocative show. And that's coming up next week. The following week, we'll be back in South Carolina, back on the road in South Carolina. You know, we did a live broadcast from a location back in November, and it was one of the most memorable I've ever had. Well, that organic community has grown, and we're going to give you an update live from the scene in South Carolina the second week of July. Stay tuned for that. And then a first-time guest. He's a longtime movement stalwart, but he has never appeared on TPC before, inexplicably so. One of the greatest writers in our entire movement, and he's going to be making a debut appearance on the third week of July. So we got a lot. It's going to be a jamming July on TPC. And again, we're bringing all of that to you as promised. Don't forget, though, to support our work. Support our work. We've got to have it. Without it, none of it is possible. We have only 4 days remaining in our critical second quarter fundraising drive. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we can't take credit card contributions anymore. We tell the truth, so we've been deplatformed and censored and all of that stuff. You got to put a stamp on an envelope and put pen to paper, mail it in, your support, check, money order, well-concealed cash, and you're going to get, in return for that contribution, Mark Hollett's book. And it's been a book we've been talking about all month. So please remember to do that before the end of the month. As long as it's postmarked before June 30th, we're going to send out a whole swath of these. We sent out several dozen last week. We're going to send out the rest next week. All that being said, Keith Alexander, back to you, my friend. A police officer got sentenced to 22 years in prison yesterday for doing what he was trained to do during his encounter with a career criminal. Now, of course, we're talking about Derek Chauvin, but what the headlines should have read was a white police officer was sentenced to 22 years in prison for doing what he was trained to do, because if it had been a black on black, a black police officer and a black career criminal, if it had been white on white or black on white, it would have not been a story, not at all. But because of what it was, it's taken this religious-like fervor where George Floyd has supplanted Jesus Christ, of course, but even perhaps even Martin Luther King as this new saint, this new deity in the religion of political correctness. There's effigies. There are icons and statues and monuments being raised now to this career thug who died for reasons that we know, but it didn't matter in the sentencing. 22 years in prison, Derek Chauvin. Keith Alexander, go.
22 and a half, actually. Basically, I think the left doesn't realize that Orwell's 1984 was meant to be a cautionary tale, not a blueprint for the future. And they've turned it into a blueprint for the future. We are living in
Touché.
A society that is truly Orwellian. And Derek Chauvin's conviction and sentencing is proof positive of that. Derek Chauvin did exactly as he should have done. He did not put undue pressure on the neck of George Floyd. George Floyd died of a variety of comorbidities, a cocktail of drugs, alcohol, and heart disease. And he is now being blamed because our cowardly elite have set in motion the dogs of war, as Shakespeare said in his play Julius Caesar, and they can't control it. They basically are throwing policemen to the wolves. Policemen, therefore, are reacting very predictably by leaving the police force in major metropolitan areas, and many major metropolitan areas are becoming combat zones. It's like that movie Escape from New York that starred Kurt Russell back in the 80s. That's what Minneapolis, that's what Portland, Oregon, that's what Chicago, Illinois, all these cities like that are devolving into it would be an insult. I'd say they were turning into third world hellholes, but that would be slanderous and defamatory to third world hellholes. These are worse than third world hellholes, right?
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, of course, there's nothing else to be said. I guess Chauvin should feel lucky as he is this sacrificial lamb to the new religion, the state religion of America, which is political correctness, and George Floyd is one of its gods. I mean, this is a career thug. If he hadn't been committing crimes, if he hadn't been on drugs, he'd still be alive. We all know that. But 22 years for doing your job. You're a white cop. If you're anything else, you don't do any time, and it's not a story. So that we know that, though. But 22 years, I guess, you know, he should be thankful he didn't get life, because I would have expected that at this point with what America is in the present. But before we go to Sam Bushman in the third hour.
James, the truth just couldn't get out. They didn't cover the part of the trial where his lawyers were making their presentation. And
that's right. Yeah, that's a good
point.
What we're
seeing is the triumph of critical theory. Critical theory is a way to win a debate without having to debate your opponent's ideas. You just shout at high volume epithets. You don't have to even reason. You call people racist or white supremacist or whatever the slander du jour is at the time, and say it loud enough, and the media, which is in the tank for the left, will only report what you say. They will not report what the other side says. So I would say that a large part of the American public has no idea what the real facts were, because the real factual presentation made by Derek Chauvin's attorneys has been suppressed.
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point, of course, and duly noted. Now, let me ask you this very quickly. As we wrap up and then go to Sam, we're back to full strength in the studio next week, as mentioned, for our annual 4th of July extravaganza or lamentation. We'll see how it shakes out this year. But had the opportunity several days ago, it just got posted to the website this week, to sit down for an interview with the good guys over at Rebel Yell. You can listen to that. It was posted on Thursday at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith Alexander. We're busy, even when we're not on air together, making the rounds in this calls at various ports of call. Keith Alexander had the opportunity to sit down with our friends at the Barnes Review for the Barnes Review Radio Hour, and we're going to post that to the website next week. Keith, with a minute remaining, what did you talk to Dr. Ed DeVries about in your interview?
Well, we talked about nationalism. We talked about critical race theory and what it was and why it was effective. We also discussed what's happened to America and are we in a death spiral. All of this type of stuff, you know, is what you would expect from the Barnes Review, which is named after a noted white Gentile historian named Harry Elmer Barnes from the 20s and 30s, who did what is called revisionist history. What it is actually accurate history about, you know, all sorts of topics that impact us as Americans and inheritors of the Western civilization and culture. They will question anything, and they've got the intellectual heavyweights working for them that can do the research and make it stick. People like David Irving, for example, are frequent contributors to their magazine. And if you want to read real history or get a different view on, you know, the standard history of, for example, World War I or World War II or the Crimean War, the Civil War, any of these big topics that we talk about all the time, you need to do yourself a favor and get a subscription to the Barnes Review. Dr. Ed DeVries was the interlocutor, the interviewer of me, and he did a great job.
Well, Keith Alexander and I are both subscribers to the Barnes Review. You could be a subscriber, too. The Barnes Review is a fantastic magazine. We're good friends with both Ed DeVries and Paul Angel. We couldn't go a show without having Keith Alexander, the great featured. A show is not a show. TPC is not TPC without Keith. Thank you, Keith. Love you, brother. For Mark Weber, I'm James Edwards. Don't go anywhere yet. The third hour is still coming up with Sam Bushman. We'll be back in the studio with you next week, 4th of July. Here we come. Here comes Sam.